James Hinchcliffe joins us now. Way to go. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, sir. Much appreciated.
Wish I understood exactly how that all happened, but I would. Is it fair to say, Hinch, that your car wasn't exactly at peak performance yesterday?
100% fair to say that. Yeah. It's unfortunate. We kind of missed it a little bit on the black tires there, and that middle stint we really struggled. You know, the reds at the start we were okay, but the middle stint there was not super pretty for the five car. But as you said, motorsports has a way of throwing some curveballs, and you know, we made the car a little bit better on that last stint, and we got that lucky yellow for sure. Not going to pretend like we drove our way up to third, but we made it good enough that we were able to hang on to third, which is you know, it shows that we did make some improvements to the cars over the course of the race.
So did you spend, so the last few laps of the race, you get to third place. Are you looking over your shoulder? Is this basically, was the agenda not to catch the two guys in front of you, but to keep those guys behind you where they were?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, with the way it panned out, there were two different fuel strategies playing out, and Will and Elio up front were able to run full rich and push as hard as they could. But guys like Takuma, you know, behind me were on the same strategy as me, and we both had to save an awful lot of fuel to make it to the end. Tony was kind of on his own strategy, a third one almost playing out as well, and so it was definitely focusing on the guys behind, because the guys in front were on a different strategy, and it was not one we were going to be able to beat. So you're trying to save fuel, but you're trying to go as fast as you can and defend, and It makes for a challenging last couple laps and a stressful last couple laps, but you know, especially with that last yellow, we had enough fuel to make it home.
Okay, so put it in context for the audience. Your best estimate: how much fuel did you have left when you crossed the finish line?
Oh, there was
a lap.
By the time I got back in pit lane, there was a couple mil left. We were running on fumes for sure. The team can see what's left in the tank. They can see the consumption every single lap, and they're giving me a new number. On my dash, I have my, you know, my miles per gallon, my fuel consumption each lap, and every lap it would change what number I had to hit, and I'm adjusting my driving accordingly to try and make sure I stay within those numbers. And I know that they always calculate it down to the smallest amount so that I can, you know, they can give me as much power and make me push as much as I can afford to, but just get across the line.
So, I mean, James, I think you kind of tipped my answer there a little bit, but what's more satisfying? Obviously, you're hugely satisfied. A podium at the Indy, which in your hometown, which as you've said, you know, it's not like you haven't had bad luck. It's not like you've had bad luck in Toronto. You've had horrendous luck, I think was the way you put it, something like that. But right. In terms of your satisfaction as a racer, do you get more satisfaction out of kind of grinding a podium out, as you've described, where you're sort of getting a little bit lucky with cautions and otherwise it's the tactics that are getting it done and your execution of those tactics? Or is it, you know, how would you measure that compared to, you know, kind of running from the front and just like you say, being on full power and trying in a duel almost, which is, from a purist point of view, which generates the more satisfaction?
You know, I think that being up there on pace is always going to be a little bit more satisfying. It just proves that, you know, you and the team have done your job perfectly and got you where you needed to be to run up front. But on the other hand, what was really satisfying about this podium, other than the obvious, you know, finally catching a lucky break in Toronto, was the fact that, you know, we got that track position through a lucky break. But we had been working on the car. I had been working on my driving a bit throughout the race to try and, you know, adapt for the handling issues that we had. And once we got that track position, we kept it. You know, in the middle of the race, we were losing positions to guys because we didn't have the car underneath us. At the end there, you know, with guys around us, we were able to maintain position and even pull out gaps at a time. So the satisfaction I take is that we were given an opportunity with that lucky yellow. And we were able to maximize it, you know, and that's, I think, what we can be proud of today.
There were some changes made in the course. Do you like it better the way it wound up being, or did you like it better the way it was?
Oh man, that's tough. You know, I either came as a fan or raced on that for, you know, almost 30 years, and it's tough to change your opinion on something after just one race, but You know, I think when we first got out there on Friday, it was a very big change for all the drivers.
Sure.
Not for us to kind of accept. But, you know, as the weekend went on and it rubbered in a little bit, it got a little bit more drivable. I definitely liked it better by the end of the weekend at start. But the old layout, I think, still kind of holds a cool place in my heart.
Did they make the change for safety reasons?
The change really took place because of, you know, Hotel X being built down there on the ground.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It cut into where pit lane used to be.
Right.
Which forced the promoters to move pit lane to the other side of the racetrack, which sort of forced our hand to design the last corners the way that we did.
Is it your understanding that next year pit lane will revert to where it has been?
As far as I know, the conversations I've had, you know, obviously we were going to look back on this weekend once it was finished, look at pros and cons, and see if there's something that we can do better. And, you know, there might be an opportunity to move it back to the right-hand side of the track, but, you know, a little bit further down.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we pulled the race off, and we didn't have any incidents in pit lane, and we didn't have any crazy incidents in those last couple corners. And so there's definitely a potential of just fundamentally leaving it the same, but making small little tweaks where possible.
Yeah, but it's really narrow, right? It was really narrow this weekend.
It was very narrow, yes. But, you know, we've had street circuits that had sections that were narrow like that in the past, so it's nothing that we haven't seen before. It was just so different from what we were used to here in Toronto.
James, it's funny you mentioned your history with the Indy, and you know, I covered lots of Indies going back when Players Racing was in full bloom, and it was such a huge Canadian content story because you had so many great Canadian racers coming up. And it's just the way you've been received this week. There's obviously a ton of appetite for racing in Canada and Canadian personalities in racing. Do you see a day or envision what it would take for you not to be the main face and the lone face for the sport in Canada, which seems to be the case for now anyway? What's the landscape like in that sense?
You know, we actually have a fair amount of young Canadian drivers kind of in the series or two below IndyCar coming up. Guys like Scott Hargrove, guys like Daniel Morad, Garrett Grist, that have you know, shown a lot of speed and a lot of skill. And it's a matter of opportunity. You know, I know what it's like. I spent 5 years at the Indy Lights level, you know, one below the big show, trying to catch my break. And it's just a very, very tough sport to break into and to get that opportunity. And when you get it, you have to really grab it by the horns and prove that you belong there. So I think it's a good future. You know, I think that Canadian motorsports really starts at the grassroots down in go-karting. You know, there's a tremendous go-karting culture across this country, and it produces, you know, for our population, a relatively large amount of very, very talented drivers. And, you know, I'm doing what I can to try and help some of them get along, because I would love to see more drivers at the top level and ultimately more and more, you know, attention and sponsorship dollars and events, you know, in motorsports happen across this country.
Well, listen, congratulations. Podium finish is not to be sneezed at. It's your first ever in Toronto. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. And hopefully there's more success the rest of this year and beyond. And we'll look forward to running into you soon. Thanks, pal, for joining us today.
Sounds good. Thanks as always, guys. Take care.
James Hinchcliffe, the mayor of Hinchtown.